we move on in the first letter of Peter. We were lucky to hear today the ending of the other one, because you see, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of your souls. Now concerning this salvation, the prophets and who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and circumstance. Now you see the vision. For one millennium, God prepared for this grace of Jesus Christ among us, his death, his resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and new divine life in us, imperishable. We cannot die. We can die physically, but we cannot die. We have divine life in us. And so that's what he's starting to say this. You see, they were investigating the time and circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories his and ours to follow them. So that's the plan. And now he's going to talk about the way God manifested and worked out that plan. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the gospel of good news to you. And they preached through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And what did they preach? Things into which angels longed to look. So just as by faith we await the full revelation of the fullness of God's plan, our forefathers in the faith, the Jewish people, the saints among them, awaited this fulfillment. And the prophets spoke about it. You know, I think I've mentioned before, some of the very early fathers of the church, before the Gospels, they had been written but not circulated around. Both Irenaeus and Justin, they established the resurrection of the Lord from the Old Testament. Jesus is there. That's the Word of God. And it speaks to us and enlightens us and transforms us. And there are some prophecies there that are not fulfilled yet, like heaven and a new earth. It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, there are prophecies there that are not yet fulfilled. That they await heaven. That's why in the letter to the Hebrews we read, there's a line, it's Hebrews 10:1 actually. The law, the whole past regime, the one I've been talking about, having the sketch of the things to come, the good things to come, melonton, agathon, the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. So he's distinguishing what they had and what we have. They had the sketch or the shadow of the good things to come. We have their icon. And we will possess their realities. The icon of the realities. We have them. We live by faith. But we have divine life. Faith is the substance, the hypostasis, the substance of things hoped for. It's already, we already got them. And that's why he says this. You see, an icon is a reality present, but not under the mode of existence that's proper to that reality. A little early in the morning for all this, but you see, the Eucharist is an icon. It's Jesus Christ in all the glory and majesty and light and brilliance of his divinized humanity, worshipped in pure sight, in vision, by the angels and the saints. That's who's here. Not somebody else. But not in the way of existing that's proper to him. But in bread and wine. So this Eucharist, in that sense, is an icon. We have the good things to come, but in icon. But we have them. This is what St. Peter is telling us here, you see? You've got them. Everything that was prophesied, you've got, except those things that are not yet fulfilled, because we have the icon, not the realities. And we'll have the reality. Just obeying the Lord day by day, listening to him, you know, loving each other, obeying the Lord. The realities are ours. And you just heard about Magdalene de Pazzi. Those realities were so alive in her that she was in ecstasy all the time. That's pretty nice. But what was bringing her into ecstasy? The reality, or still an icon, because she didn't see the Lord God, you see, but the reality. That's what he's saying here, you see. It was revealed to them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, the men who put together the Book of Kings. It was revealed to all of them that they were serving not themselves, but you. They were preparing for the future in regard to the things that have been already announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit. How does all this get real? It's a beautiful concept. But how do I get it real? The work of the Holy Spirit. It says in the first letter of John in chapter 5, this is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus, right? He came through his baptism and his passion. Not in water alone, but in water and blood. And the Spirit is bearing witness. He came, the Spirit is bearing witness. To what? To that. He came. He died in an act of love and saved the whole world. He rose and is in glory in his humanity. That's the Feast of the Ascension. Forever. And the Spirit he poured out, and we celebrated last Sunday, makes that all real to us. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly. Use your mind. Take care of your mind. Think, read, pray. Keep all these realities alive. Set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he reveals himself to the whole world and ends history as we know it, whatever that is. Be ready. It's going to end for you and me in a couple of years. And then we'll see him. Wouldn't that be great? So he's saying, obey me now, and when I show myself to you, you'll just come right in with me. You can have your purgatory now or then. Now, much better deal. Because we grow in a holiness that will keep us at with a deeper appreciation of God forever. Isn't that beautiful? That's why all these trials? To get us out of illusion into reality so that when we die, we're familiar with reality. Okay. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as he has called you and he is holy, be holy yourselves.